Episode number 289.
You can't be answering emails at 9 p.m. or 10 p.m. or whatever. And there's a lot of those boundaries that are going to have to get set the right way. Right. And I think a lot of companies just aren't making a point of doing that. So then everybody, of course, is burning out and
they are
not making good decisions and so on. So I think that's going to have to get figured out.
Welcome to the Be Real Show with Travis Too Tall and Hop, where we talk about life, dreams, social media, and business.
Well, hello, and welcome to the Be Real Show with Travis Too Tall and Huff. Folks, you know your boy is always fired up. I'm ready to go. But after this show, I think you're going to want to think about your sales schema. I think you're going to want to think about how you get leads, especially for marketing agencies out there. As we know, we're trying to get new clients. We're trying to help more and more businesses, especially during these times, because a lot of our customers are hurting, out of business, etc. So we need to make that up in different ways, or we need to find a way to basically find new leads that we never even imagined. Maybe there's a new category of business we can help. Maybe there's just people that we never even thought we could service, but now we can, because maybe they have money, their businesses are thriving, etc. And that's what my man does. Mr. Dan Englander. Dan, are you ready to be real?
Yeah, man. I hope so. I hope
Let's
I'm ready.
Go.
I think I'm ready.
Yeah. Oh, you're ready, dude. You're ready, okay, brother. Cool. So tell us about this. You are the CEO and founder of Sales Schema. Is that correct?
Correct, man. Yeah, you got it.
A fractional business team for marketing agencies, folks. He helps agencies get those dream customers. Currently, Dan and his team have executed over 7,000 campaigns and winning his customers lots of money, millions and millions of money and lifetime revenue, businesses, helping them grow, et cetera. And at the end of the day, you know, you've worked with some really big brands, Birchbox, Stripe, Venmo, et cetera. And this is just a really unique niche, if you want to call it, in that you are helping these agencies grow. So tell us a little bit about this, man. What gave you this idea, my man?
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for the energetic intro. I hope I can keep up. So I think I kind of fell into it, you know, like a lot of business owners. I started in the agency space. I was an accounts grunt. I was just literally answering, you know, issues on Facebook walls and pitching ideas and just like kind of dealing with the whole client service thing
right.
When I first moved to New York, and then fell into a business development role, kind of hacked it for a while, made that work, you know, eventually learned how to do it. And I was selling creative services to enterprise, selling animated video, did inbound, did outbound, did everything under the sun, got on thousands of sales calls, got my ass handed to me a lot. And then finally, right. Made it work and helped them grow and helped them get to seven figures, and then kind of struck out on my own, traveled for a while, started a consultancy, and then realized pretty early on that most agencies struggle when it comes to getting out past referrals, getting out past the personal orbits of the ownership, and realized that, you know, they don't want just another idea, another bright idea for me. They're looking for somebody to actually come in and do things. And then it kind of grew from there. So you know, we have done a lot of campaigns, learned a lot, and we've really shifted up strategies, I'd say, on average every 6 months, every year or so, to figure out what's working. And I can
constantly changing, constantly, yeah. Constantly. Things are always changing in this business. The ways you can find new people, the ways that you can reach out to these new people. Obviously, got beautiful things like LinkedIn and just these amazing platforms to be able to start the conversation. You got podcasts that you got the start the lead gen, if you want to call it, or ability to kind of build a camaraderie or business. But really, at the end of the day, I mean, if you do your job right, you're helping them get new customers. I mean, if you do your job, you're helping this agency land a big ass account or a small account, but it's an account. Bottom line is you're helping them get a new customer. And in this world that we're all, you know, wanting new customers, especially in the agency business, I work personally with a lot of agencies, and some of them are having a great time. Some are having a tough time depending on what categories of business they service, right? Like if you're all in water parks right now, it's been rough, dude, because they're all closed. If you're in a, you know, grocery stores and those are all your customers, it's been pretty damn good because grocery stores have been making tons of money. So tell us a little bit about that process, Dan. Like, how do you even go about this with the agencies?
Yeah, great question. So I think that you brought up a really good point where a lot of it's about, you know, positioning and specialization and the sort of stuff that we can't necessarily decide for our clients, but we can help them test it. We can help them make sure that it's working before they make a bigger decision about how to position their agency. Because, you know, and I'm very much of the opinion that it's sort of like the Mike Tyson line, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face, right? So you can say, oh, I think our, you know, our clients should be X. I think our clients should be Y. Right. There's money being made over here in fintech, so we're going to go sell into fintech now. Right. And I don't think that's necessarily the best way to do it. I think the best way to do it is to figure out where you can be useful in a market, you know, where you can close business, where people trust you. And then if you're sort of at this junction point as an agency, the thing to do is to think about where have we had the most historic success? Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's water parks, you know. Water parks might be in a rough spot, but the agencies that stick with that group and find a way to help them and find a way to stay alive are going to come out on top. There's some exceptions. Yeah, there's areas that are straight up dying right now, but even that, even retail is right. still going to cling on for a while in some shape or form. So the agencies that focus on retail, there might be a lot fewer of them, but they're going to be in a really, you know, protected place once this is all over. So anyway, yeah. I digress a little bit. The way that we're thinking about helping agencies now is more about putting the right team in place as opposed to this or that tactic. So we kind of think about the team as a foundation and basically a division of duties. So you have somebody that's thinking of strategy. Mm-hmm. You have somebody that's dealing with the hustle, right? The back and forth. Hey, can you talk to me? Hey, can you talk to us right now?
Right.
Hey, you're interested. Yeah, I saw you responded to our email. Can we get you on the calendar? That sort of hustle. And then you have the list building and the data and all the technical stuff. So in a nutshell, it's those three roles, and that's kind of what we're giving to our clients. And then all the individual tactics, all the shiny objects kind of live on top of that. Yeah.
Got you. But then you guys come in as part of their team basically and help them biz dev this out.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. We're working, you know, as extension of their team, which is great because that means we don't just have one size fits all funnel for every agency. We get to kind of look at what they're up to and so on. I can definitely get into some examples from there. Yeah.
For you, I mean, really kind of every agency maybe has a little different process, how they want to do it. You obviously have a tried and true process of, you know, how you've done it successfully. So you can push back on certain things. Hey, you know, well, we've seen it really works better this way, even though you want this, and you kind of come up with a custom approach for them, each one obviously probably being somewhat different.
Yeah, correct. And to kind of go over trends and stuff that hopefully will be useful to your audience. When we first started the company, the trend was the direct sales approach could work really well, right? Where we'd say, hey, we're an agency, we've worked with clients like you, here's our amazing case studies, let's talk. And there's still situations in which that works really well. Right. And that still can work. So I'm not saying it doesn't work or anything like that.
Right.
But as, you know, more and more agencies have flooded into the market, the things that used to be differentiators for our clients and for agencies in general are just less and less interesting. So being able to have an incredible service, having really cool case studies, all this stuff with some exceptions is less interesting. So what we're finding to work now more is using a relationship driven approach, right? Where we are finding, you know, we're drawing from a lot of different data. We have proprietary data. We've built up a lot of stuff, blah, 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 special sauce this, special sauce that.
Yeah,
we find stuff that, and even if people never hire us, they can do this themselves, is look for personal commonalities. Look, okay, so you want to connect with Birchbox, or you want to connect with Allbirds, and you want to, you could sell directly to the CMO and be like, hey, CMO, look at my amazing agency, talk to us. And he'll be like, or she will be like, this looks cool. I'm just going to put you in a file to be ready to hire an agency or whatever. But let's say you went to the same college as the CTO, you know, okay, you're not selling to the CTO, but that CTO will at least have a call with you based on that. And then guess what's going to happen after that call? CTO is going to introduce you to the CMO and so on and so forth from there. And you can do that process at scale. You know, that's the other thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so scalable nowadays with obviously the social networks, the ability on digital to target and also find these people, you know, with LinkedIn. Obviously that was one of the beautiful things, is like you get to see how many second or third connections you have with someone. That's why Mark Benioff and Gary Vee and some of these hit makers connected with me, and I'm actually personal friends with them on LinkedIn, not just following them, but actually he's following me too. In that early on, we had some sort of mutual friend. And so he said, oh, Gary Vee said, oh, I got friends with Travis. I'll add him. You know what I mean? So that's the kind of the uniqueness. And like you said, it's the same thing with at scale after the agencies, is that there's always some sort of mutual connection there, possibly, that you can resonate up, or you need to dig deep. You need to look into the agency. What are they doing? Oh, they like the Red Sox. Oh, you know, I like the, you know, let's find something interesting about the Red Sox. Let's try to get something there. And build a relationship. That was one of the most successful things I did when I was working in the media business, my man, working in at for ABC television on getting new accounts, was I would start to learn like media buyers, and I would learn what teams they like, and I'd send them shit. I'd send them like, oh, you like this random like minor league team? Oh, I'm going to send you their newest hat. I'm going to send you like their like some sports cards from them, or you know, like just kind of based on their interest, you kind of figure that out. And obviously, you know, it's kind of an old school technique because this is many years ago, but it still works because you're trying to find a little personality, you know, and I'll do it with my podcast, folks. I, you know, not only bring people on that I want to have on my show, but I also bring people whose guests they want to have on my show, and I get to learn something new every time. And so I think that's another one, Dan, is having a podcast or having some sort of mechanism to bring people on your show is that's the way you maybe get that CMOs. Hey, you know, we interview the most interesting CMOs across the world. We've interviewed Dove, and we've interviewed Taco Bell, and we've interviewed Chipotle or whatever. And then we'd like to interview you, Mrs. Birchbox. And that's another vehicle, because a lot of times these people that would never talk to you will come on a podcast because it's the unique format of an interview. Like, and so that's another one that I think is a hidden gem in biz dev is creating a show, bringing these people on the show. You know, so many people forget about that. That's just another great vehicle to kind of get at least someone to talk back to you, you know, get that conversation going.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And we're doing a lot with that. And I think that one way that I've heard it put, and this was from John Logar, who's an old sales mentor of mine, is that, you know, if you either want to be selling, okay, if you can't sell, then you want to be teaching somebody something. If you can't teach somebody something, then you want to be learning something. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a whole lot to be taken from just getting into the rhythm of having conversations every day with your market, getting out of the mindset of, you know, I only want to talk to people when they have an active proposal and they're ready to buy. Granted, I'm not saying you should just sort of like blindly network with anyone. You know, you want to be focused on particular areas, but just getting into the rhythm, right? Kind of like building up that momentum, I think really matters. Cause you know, yeah, it's not just a numbers game, but it also is a numbers game. Yes. So that's one thing that we've really picked up on over the years.
So yep. True. But it's that scale. The beautiful thing, yeah. Like you said, Dan, is everything's that scale. You don't have to, like on my podcast, I could interview people from five different places on the globe. They don't have to travel to me. I don't have to travel to them. I send them a link. We're done. The thing's out there forever. Hopefully they pick some business up and some acumen and branding. I get a new awesome guest. The point is, it's all at scale. This whole world is at scale. You're in Brooklyn. I'm in Fresno. It would take 6 hours for you to fly over here. You're not going to do that. We hopped on the show. It's at scale. Now providing value to people in the agency world right now. But in general, honestly, anyone that's listening, these things can apply to you. It doesn't have to just be an agency. Building relationships works no matter what you do.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So it's, you know, it's new tools, new shiny objects, same old tribal rules, basically.
Right.
Apply. So
yeah, it's like, was it Win Friends and Influence People, or, you know, these simple ass books that literally if used correctly on social at scale can go tremendous places.
Yeah. And I do think, you know, I think, yeah, of course, there's a lot of people that have hit, you know, hard or interesting times, which is rough. I think that on the other side of it, there's going to be a lot of sacred cows that are going to get killed, especially along the lines of the objection, I don't think we can trust outsiders to do X, right? How many times have you, listeners out there,
absolutely.
That's the most common thing with the agency services, with digging into deeper problems, you know, can we really trust you to understand this about us? But now, you know, everybody's on the outside. If you have a remote team that's spread out throughout the US or just not even in the same office, how much different is it to have, you know, a core group of people that are devoted to solving one problem that might not literally be W-2 employees, but they might as well be.
Right.
I think that there's actually just a lot of opportunity out there for especially digital agencies, but all agencies.
I agree, dude. I think this has opened up the worms to just opportunity. The ability, the fact that we've always got that same thing. You can't do social media in-house. It's so much better in-house. True. It is, but you're going to pay $5,000 a month to have someone on salary to do it. So if you are getting the return from that, then yes, it is. If not, then you should probably find another source that can do it for $300 to $500, way less, can still do exact similar job and basically scale. And that's what you've found in many businesses now, that they're willing to accept these things, same as they are willing to accept a Zoom meeting. Same as they're willing to, you know, I just saw an article a few days ago. Twitter and Facebook and Microsoft and Stripe and Slack. These folks have all told their employees, you don't ever have to come back. You don't ever have to come back. You're working from home permanently. If you want to come back, we're going to have, we're changing our offices, Shopify, they're changing their offices to make it more like a common workspace where there's gonna be less little offices and more kind of just a big area to work and things like that. And I think they're going to be coming in to work less, you know, only having to come in a few days a month or something to kind of have a team building and these kind of things that they are going to, you know, business has just changed. Let's just be real. I mean, it's just,
yeah, I think it's going to, I don't know how it's going to play out exactly. And I think that nobody does, but I sort of feel that most of these companies, like 80, whatever, 90% of companies, let's say, whatever the percentage is, the vast majority are, it's not going to matter whether or not in-person or digital is better. They're just going to simply say, oh, we can do things almost as well, you know, digitally. And it's this giant amount of overhead that we're going to cut off. So the idea that things are just going to bounce back to people going into an office may not be true in like the vast majority of knowledge work jobs, right? I think the places, the people that are fighting really hard to bounce back are ones that companies that have a vested interest in bouncing back, like real estate organizations, you know, other kind of like institutional organizations that have long-term leases and things that are really hard to get out of. They want to come back, but anybody that can, you know, is moving away from it. Yeah, we might get really interesting hybrid models. Right? You know, we might have a situation where you go meet once a month, once every 2 weeks.
That's what they're saying. That's exactly what they said. That's exactly what they were saying in these articles. Like many of them have quoted, you're only going to have to come in a few times, have to. And then if you want to, you always can come in. They're going to say, hey, you can always come, but if you want to work from home too, do it. Like, it's basically just like whatever you want is kind of the new model. Just like kind of Uber. Let's think about it. Uber and Lyft. Yeah. The reason why people love those and why they're fighting for the hell out of them out here in California for this new law that, you know, got passed to ban these contract workers is people like their time. People don't like to have to sit in an office for 8 hours. They want to just roll Uber for a few hours, do something different, roll back out on Uber whenever they want. And so I think that's what the businesses, Dan, are figuring out is, hey, let my people work any way they want. You know, like whatever you find successful, just work, you know, like get it done.
Right, right. And I think that like, so we're in an interesting position because we've been distributed since 2014.
You know, right. 100%.
So it's, to me, it's all old. And like, you know, you find kind of getting into like a distributed work model is that you have to be more disciplined. You have to really set boundaries and maintain them. And I think that everybody's kind of going through those reps right now and they'll figure it out soon. But you know, it's like, that's, you can't be answering emails at 9 p.m. or 10 p.m. or whatever. And there's a lot of those boundaries that are going to have to get set the right way. Right. And I think a lot of companies just aren't making a point of doing that. So then everybody, of course, is burning out and
they are
not making good decisions and so on. So I think that's going to have to get figured out. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's like we talked about before, the every day's Friday deal. Same thing with me, man. 11 years now in the business, same idea. We work like a WordPress model, teams work remote. We've been doing it for 11 years successfully. Mm-hmm. And so like you, it's not bothering us as much. Now all these new people are like, oh my God, I could be working till 12 o'clock at night, you know, every day. But there are some obviously benefits of the gratitude you get of your time. You can control when you work. And some of these people that spend, Dan, like you talked about an hour and a half, some of these people are spending 3 hours a day in traffic.
Yeah.
Commuting.
Yeah. It's
just
numbing.
Yes. Now it's just like, boom, you get that time back. What do you want to do, man? You got 3 hours of whatever the hell you want to do time, let alone also the assets and resources on your gas, putting on clothes and, you know, getting ready for the day. So there's a piece to, we're all obviously figuring out this new kind of work from home deal, but it's truly, I mean, I think it's definitely here to stay. I mean, it's,
yeah.
And I don't think it's going back.
What's tough is you know, I think mid-career people are affected. Everybody's affected. I think some people that really like coming into an office, of course, are hurt more. But I think the people that are going to have a lot of trouble with it are 20-somethings, you know, early career types. Like, I think that I'd be in a really different position and probably at a disadvantage if I couldn't have met people in person in my first job or first totally. Couple jobs, you know.
Dude,
so I'm not sure. I think that for you know, early career people, it's probably going to make more sense, all things being equal. You know, if it were me, I can only speak for myself, but if it were me looking back on it, I probably would pick a smaller company, you know, a place where you might be able to form more intimate connections, even if it's over Zoom, than in a big company where it's just like, it's already distant. Even if you're in an office, much less you introduce Zoom and nobody's figuring this stuff out, it's like, you know, you're not gonna have much staying power. You might not learn that much about your new trade or et cetera. So
that's a good point. Yes. That's a great point, dude. And they're even saying, I heard some new thing with schools, like where like neighborhoods, they're like, you know, basically like five neighbors are saying, hey, you know what, let's one of you guys have the homeschool, we're all going to basically make our little community school. And they're making these new like pods where they're basically like, you know, not going back to school. The families are going to be not doing homeschool just alone. They're going to get five or six of the other families, so they do get that social interaction, kind of like you talked about the small business, but they're doing it differently, you know, and they're taking control of it. And maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. I don't know exactly. We all don't know. But I think your point, Dan, is very good. Folks, if you are entering the workforce, think about going with a smaller company to start right now. I mean, it's just a good point. Unless you are obviously driven and dreaming to do coding the world and do this. I mean, I think it's just a good point that it might be a lot harder to get going in a big company, man.
Yeah. And I guess as a disclaimer, like that was my path. So I'm definitely absolutely. Biased towards that and entrepreneurship, but you know, so it's not the only way, but I don't know. I guess I just don't have a really good answer for early career people.
It's a tough one. Dude. It's tough for all different levels, Dan. I mean, I think that no matter where, even if you're at a late stage, there's this new trend we're seeing with like these people that are retiring in their 60s and now they're getting, trying to find something new because they're like bored. I didn't want to be retired. I didn't realize I have so much damn time on my hands, you know? And so they're trying to find either other businesses, they're saying, or there's like a boom of them trying to even go back to college and learn something new and try a new skill, you know? So it's kind of interesting that we all really do love to work, no matter what you think about it. It's just now work's a little bit different. Now
it's
different.
Just the obligation of work that people hate. It's not the work itself.
You exactly.
know? I've always said that there's not enough words for work. You know, you have five words for moving yourself down the street, right? You have walk, jog, run. For work, we just have this one word. You could be scrubbing a toilet or writing the next great American novel, and it's the same verb, basically. It doesn't make sense.
That is crazy when you think about it. There's not different levels of this shit.
Yeah. You use lots of different verbs for like writing or reading or whatever, but that doesn't capture the same thing, I guess.
It's a good point, actually. I didn't think about that. That's a really good point. Now, my man, we're about to take you into our top 10. Are you ready?
I think so, yeah.
Let's go.
This is what those
Apple
are.
Or Android?
Apple, yeah. Apple
best.
Guy.
Are you going to get the new phone here coming soon?
I have no idea, man. I probably should. My screen's halfway to shattered. It's got
Let's
a little,
go. Yeah. You deserve it. You deserve it. Netflix or YouTube?
I got to say Netflix. Yeah. YouTube's
Netflix and chill.
I get stuck in the algorithm and get mad at it too much.
Yeah. Why'd you suggest that damn video to me? I don't want to watch that. Yeah. One of my favorite things on YouTube, though, is YouTube Red, where you don't see any of the commercials, man. That is... been one of the best investments for $9. It's crazy how the commercials annoy the shit out of you when you go the opposite way. Instagram or Facebook?
Instagram. It's just pretty pictures and people by and large being nicer to each other.
They are. I haven't
been on Facebook in a while. Yeah.
They can't share stuff on Instagram, like articles and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that's part of why you don't get all these damn weird articles and videos, and it is just a more pretty platform and less of the bullshit. Especially these days, man, I'm ready to just, let's figure out who's going to be the leader of our country. And it ain't going to matter, folks. You got to do what you got to do every day. And that was what really matters. In my belief, chicken or steak when you're thinking about a good meal?
Steak. Yeah.
You guys got so many goddamn steakhouses out there. Where's that one? It's right there by the Brooklyn Bridge, man. It's real
Peter Luger's. Yep.
fire, dude.
I think Peter Luger's is, it could be the best steak in New York. It's not my favorite place though, just because I like kind of like a darker kind of plush vibe. And Peter Luger's is like a very well lit farmhouse sort of vibe. Yes. So I like Keene's a lot, which is in town.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Keene's.
It's another really old place. It's probably like whatever, a billion years old. It's over on, I want to say like 35th Street or something near Herald Square area. Yeah.
You guys got some amazing restaurants out there. I feel for all of them too, that have been going through a shit show this year, man.
Yeah.
So many amazing restaurants, not going to come back, man.
There's so many that some of them can have outdoor seating, but you don't want to go to a steak place and sit on the street, especially now it's cold.
It's been $500 and eat a street next to a bum, eat a steak next to a bum.
Yeah.
Interesting thing that they're finding in some categories, Dan, is that some of these businesses will never open indoor seating ever again. They've actually pivoted their businesses and found it be way more successful to just do drop off, delivery, pick it up, and just eliminate the servers and just basically have food. So some businesses actually have thrived, but obviously we know those legacy businesses where you sit down to a nice steak or you sit down to a nice meal, it's going to be rough for them, man. I mean,
yeah. And not only that, but there's, I've been reading about ghost kitchens, right? Where it's just, they're just cooking stuff in a random kitchen and then it's all just white labeled, which
that's what it is, dude. That's
kind of interesting because it's the way that so much of our world functions, like just back end service providers and stuff. So that the restaurant industry is just doing the same thing.
It's key. The guy that created Uber, cloud kitchens, Travis Kellett, owns a business where that's exactly what they do. They just basically make food in a industrial apartment and then they drop it off to you, baby. Good stuff too.
Yeah.
Laptop or smartphone when you think about getting out on the go right now?
I'm still pretty glued to the laptop for work. I haven't for better or worse, but I tend to not be constantly checking email. My main addiction is Instagram on the phone. So
yes,
for the purposes of work, laptop. Yeah.
So much you can get done on that thing too, man. Spotify or Pandora with Think About Music?
Spotify.
Let's go. My favorite. Movies or video games?
Movies right now. During quarantine, I was holed up with family and got back into the Xbox for a while, but haven't made the choice not to reinstall it. But sometimes I fight that urge, though. Sometimes I'm like, should I just buy damn Xbox and say goodbye to my life?
The new one? Yeah. Goodbye to the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's a constant battle.
Too good, man. There's new Xbox coming soon, I guess, too.
Yeah.
It's amazing the graphics on these things. Reading books or listening to books?
Ooh, it's a good question, man. I'm actually pretty split. I don't have any sort of system for how I decide, but lately reading, I'd say, couple months for some reason, but let me take that back. The way that I like to decide is if it's a book that's timeless, that's not about, a particular business concept or something, like if it's a novel, if it's something I want on the shelf, I'll usually read it paperback or listen. I don't tend to do Kindle as much unless it's like a really tactical business book that I just want to grab like a few ideas from really quick.
Gotcha.
It's almost either analog or listening for me.
Got you. Yeah, there's something to having that physical book, though. Something to it, folks. Something.
You can mess it up. You don't have to worry about it breaking, getting stolen or whatever.
Marking it up, put some sticky notes on it, something beach, about whatever. That. Yeah, yeah, there is something to it. We're taking on a plane, obviously, when we get back on planes. Stocks or real estate when you're thinking about investing?
Oh, man, I'm so out of the loop. I've sort of put all my risk into the business and then I just I just hedge bets. So I would say stocks. I don't really have any big real estate stuff going on. So in terms of hedging and retirement and all that stuff, it's pretty much stocks.
Absolutely. It's a great way to go, man. Invest in businesses. Oceans or lakes when you're thinking about vacation?
Ooh, I like both. I say oceans, though.
What ocean do you want to go to right now?
I like the California Ocean vibe, but I think that it's less, there's something that I'm more sentimental about, like the East Coast beach town, the mini golf and the boardwalk fries and all that stuff. So I grew up on that. So I'm more partial to that, but California, you get the surfing, you get, it's colder water though. So you gotta be more hardcore. Yeah.
Yeah, you do. You gotta be, let's go, baby. Let's go. Yeah. I'm ready to lose it all. Especially if you're a guy, you know what I'm talking about. When you wake up in the morning, my man, you're getting ready for your day. Why do you love being you?
Oh, that's a tough question, man. It's a good one though. I don't know. I it sounds cliche, but I still like the amount of liberty that I have. And I've had, like, you know, my girlfriend asked me recently, like, if you could change XYZ over the last 5 years, what would you change? And I honestly couldn't come up with that much. So I think that's a good barometer. I'm able to, I think, what was it, Nassim Taleb has a great quote where I'm paraphrasing it, you know, but he's basically like, you can judge somebody's success by the number of naps they're able to take in a given week. And I nap almost every day, not a long time, but like power nap, 30 minutes. Love just it. Being able to do that, I think
it's amazing.
Makes me glad for current position, but
gratitude.
There's rough times. There's rough things that happen too, right?
Of course. It isn't always easy. You got to take a little nap to get over that, you know. Yeah. Something about that, man, just a simple nap is such a treasured moment, man. And it's another one of those things. The beauty of entrepreneurship is you get to control your time, folks. And and taking a nap or taking a moment, meditation, anything that's for you is very important. It's very, very important, especially during these times, obviously. Do you think you'll ever retire? Do you think you'll be like, I'm done. Let's go.
Oh, man, good question. I can't see retiring in the sense of not working at all or not producing anything. You know, I think that it'll always involve something. I hope to get to a point of it involving more kind of like deeper work, more writing and reading as opposed to sales and hustling all the time.
Physical grind. Yeah. Right.
Right. So. Right. Less grind. But no, I don't see ever like just checking out for very long, maybe for short periods, but
right. Yeah. And like I said, they're fine. You know, people are retiring way too damn early because we might be living till we're 120, dude. We don't know. I mean, there's a lot of things, the ability to live a lot longer. So you retire at 60, you live to 60 more years of just sitting around. I don't think so. I think that we're all going to evolve a little bit differently. You know, you're seeing that, in many different ways, but they're saying, you know, that's just the thing that they don't necessarily think the grass is always greener on the other side. Remember that cliche they always say, because it's not. I mean, we think we're always driven to kind of have that purpose and sense at our heart. Do you have a skill you're trying to master right now? Is there something you're trying to get better at?
Yeah, a bunch of different things. I think on the business end, it's the business end. It's more about hiring and training and being a better manager than anything else, as opposed to just sales or anything else. And then also just improving the product and retention is kind of the other thing. Absolutely. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Oh, nice.
Is my big thing. Yeah. That's so awesome. Thanks, man. Yeah. So it was the main thing I was into. And then, you know, COVID threw a wrench in it. So I've been sort of training ethically and safely in the underground, as we say.
Gotcha. So yes. Just
small groups and stuff.
But yeah. Yeah. You're doing better at that. People are doing whatever they got to do, man. You can't control people. People are having big old parties. People are doing boat party. I mean, you see it all on social media, on stories and things like that. So to do things safely, to keep you a little bit of happiness, man, I know for me, dude, I haven't got to go to the gym in 8 months, bro. And it's driving me nuts. And I try to still work out. I try to do everything I can, but I'm like 13 days. I told myself I'm going to give them one more month. And I'm going back, baby, because it's just, what the hell, dude? Your own mental sanity. Yeah. You got to do something for yourself, you know?
Yeah. I mean, at least you guys have better weather out there. So hopefully you can do something outdoors.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. It's colder here. Yeah. Absolutely. Just those things you miss, man, about the 2019 prior, you know, they never get them back completely exactly how they are, you know? Do you have a favorite app on your phone? Is there a favorite app you like using, tool?
Oh, man, that's great. I don't know about favorite, but I'd rather pick up kind of more interesting ones that I've gotten on. And I forget the name of it, but it's, is it Geofinder?
Oh, Geofinder. Something? I've heard about
it. It's basically where it drops you off in the middle of the world with just like, you know, Google Street View. And then you have to figure out where in the world you are and you get points based on how close you get.
Wow. That's cool. So
it's sort of like it tests your ability to draw connections and observe things from very little details. And I saw a guy on YouTube who was like a black belt at this. And he was like looking at the location of the sun and the trees and like, you know, the foliage and like the street signs. And then he was getting it to like a mile, 5 miles away in some cases. So that's kind of an interesting app.
That is cool. It's different. It's a good way to kind of navigate in this new world.
Yeah. Digital and then all domain. the usual crap, you know.
The IG, the ones that take us, take all the our damn time on our phone.
Destroy my life, right?
Yeah, be real. Tonight for dinner, if you could sit down with anyone in the world to a lovely steak dinner, who would it be?
Who would it be?
You got to bring the girlfriend too, because obviously you got a girl. So you got to bring the girl, and then, you know.
I think Kanye would be entertaining.
Kanye, let's go.
That would be a fun one. Yeah, despite everything, you know, that would be a good dinner. That's like one that you're going to remember.
That's one.
I feel like if you meet other people, maybe you'd have a good conversation, but then you'd forget about it a year later. It's like, oh, I remember that time we had dinner with David Hasselhoff or whatever. So, yeah, I'm going to say Kanye.
Dude, that guy, he's got the most interesting mind, dude. I mean, beyond obviously what everyone thinks, and he's got maybe some mental stuff. Who knows exactly? He says he's got all sorts of stuff. I think he's just really good at being relevant. When I saw on the ballot this year, folks, on my ballot, Kanye West is on your ballot this year, guys. If you go look at your ballot this year, Kanye West is on the California ballot.
It's amazing.
For president. Someone that has Yeezy, someone that's made hit records since the beginning through the wire. He made his first real scene of a song when he had his mouth, you know, basically shut up closed from an accident. The point is, the dude has become such a culturally relevant person. And amongst weird, you know, obscurity, he's got the most fascinating mind, dude. He's a really, really smart dude. You know, I mean, amongst it being kind of like, out there, he's like one of the smartest guys out there, they're saying. You know, I'm basically one of those like novice, what are they called? Savant in a different way.
Well, I also think that he's like almost a throwback to an older era where musicians were actually subversive. You know, music was dangerous. Musicians were kind of dangerous. And there's almost nobody like that anymore. So, like, regardless of your politics, even if you disagree with him on his politics, who cares? Like, he's an interesting person to see what he's going to do, you know?
So. And look what he's built, like, to build culture. He's on the ballot, dude. Like, just think about that. That's crazy. He's got Yeezys. He's making hit song. Nah, Nah, Nah is his new hit record right now. The point is to have that many different balls going in different courts and to just say, F it. I'm going to do it. Who cares? Right. Like, he's one of those people that just tries things. And I love that about him is that he tries. I think that's one of the most important things that any of us can do is just shoot for our dreams. I want to go become president. Get on the ballot, baby. He's on it. And that's just one of those interesting things that I think we can all kind of take a piece of, is that don't just think about it, baby. Do it. Let's go. Yeah. Can you give our listeners, my man, where's the best place for people to find more about you guys? Say they wanted to look at the agency, kind of how you help agencies. Where's the best place for people to find you online?
Yeah, for sure. So the website is salesschema.com. There's plenty of fun business stuff on there. You can see more about what we're doing, see videos and stuff. And then I host a podcast for digital agencies called the Digital Agency Growth Podcast.
Nice.
So definitely check that out if you have a chance.
So you're using that's your mechanism right there. I love that. I love that. The Digital Agency Growth Podcast.
Good we just job, keyword man. Stuffed it, man. Just screw
smart,
it,
dude. Smart, dude. Very smart. Very, very smart, dude.
Thank you.
I love what you're doing, bro. I think you have a very unique role in this world of business, and I think it's necessary. I think agencies more and more are going to use you. Anyone that's out there, please give my man Dan a shot, because I can already tell he's going to take it and run for you, baby, and get you some leads, get you some sales, get you those dream clients you always wanted. And most importantly, he's going to do it at scale for you guys, folks. He's going to do it at an efficient manner because he's done this before, but he also is able to work with you remotely. He doesn't have to be in your agency. He can be working with you if you're out here in California, one of the agencies out here. He can be working with you. He don't have to be sitting there with you. The beauty that we live in today, my man, Dan. Folks, you've been hanging out with Dan Englander and Travis Too Tall and Huff. We want to thank you so much for your time today, and let's keep being real. What another epic episode. And if you enjoyed the episode today, can you please do me a favor and subscribe to our podcast, The Be Real Show, on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform? And also take a little time today, if you don't mind, and give your boy T Huff a review. I would really super appreciate it. And thank you so much for listening today. Right now, more than ever, folks, we need to work on our reputation for our businesses. And get those reviews, get those positive reviews, get those positive recommendations on both on your social, but also to market on your website. And that is why you want to check out my business, folks, our software, realtimereputation.us. That's realtimereputation.us. Please check it out. It is literally the best thing that's ever happened to many of our campaigns, as that
Reviews bring together your social and digital campaigns. And the more positive reviews, as people are making those positive, you know, decisions, they're looking at your, you know, at your reviews. And so the more you can get, the better. And make it easy and automated with realtimereputation.us. Check us out.